Off the Ball, GAA.
Everyone was saying Leinster was dead, but like for a lot of ways, the GAA was almost dead. You know, that Dublin team were generational. Like, you'll never see the likes of that again.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Delighted to say we have Sarah Rowe with us on the line. Sarah, I presume you're still in Australia, are you?
I am. I'm back in Melbourne now. I have been living in Sydney for the last few months, but I'm back in Melbourne.
And when does training with Collingwood restart?
I was back in training with Collingwood today.
Oh, wow. Okay. So is it last week that you won the A-League final in your Knickser?
So we won the A-League final on Sunday, celebrated obviously Sunday night. And then I stayed in Melbourne just because obviously I had to get back into work pretty quickly. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Well, that is a remarkable story. So you joined the Central Coast Mariners in the off-season from Collingwood, and they've just won the A-League title on penalties at the weekend.
Yeah, so basically with the AFLW at the moment, you're in a 12-month contract, but you have 6 months where it's kind of non-compulsory training. So you can be there, but you could also potentially play another sport. So obviously I took that opportunity to play with another sport. So I moved up to Sydney and then played 21 games for Central Coast Mariners, which is twice of what an AFLW season is. So if you put it into context like that, it just shows that there's probably not enough games in the AFLW at the moment. But yeah, so I'm straight back into it now. Official preseason started on the 13th of May, so I'm just a few days late.
But probably a little bit fitter than some of your colleagues, given that you've just played 21 games?
Yeah, it's just a real different fitness. Like, we cover about 12 to 15 kilometres more in a soccer week than you would in an AFLW week. So in terms of what you cover, you've definitely done more, but there's some metrics that are small but different. So it'll just be adjusting back into it, and probably on the strength side, you would have lost a small bit as well. So it'll just be adjusting back to that now over the next couple of weeks, and I suppose mentally tuning into, you know, a new game plan, different sport, different tactics, all that stuff as well. So you have to get your head around a lot.
I presume the sort of physical side of it, as you just touched on, the strength is probably where now you hit the gym as opposed to the cardio side of it, is it? Is that where the big difference is between the two sports?
Yeah, well, I've definitely lost like a lot of size is what was kind of recognizable today when people saw me. They kind of said, you look a lot smaller than you were when you left. But I needed to be that. I felt like I needed to kind of, we changed to a lot more power-based sessions in soccer versus the strength side that we do in AFLW. So yeah, I think I'll need to up the weights and then probably up my high-speed meters as well.
Go back to going flipping from AFLW to soccer this time. You've obviously done it in the past. Was it easier this time that you've been through that journey in the past, or was it actually more difficult given the difference in shape and size?
Well, it's never easy. The first couple of weeks are always like, because obviously with AFL, you run through things. You're trying to break tackles all the time. With soccer, you're trying to run up, decelerate, and then accelerate again. So like the stop-start motion in soccer is a lot more. So like that's what I found. I kept kind of running past people versus running and stopping. So small things like that. And then obviously the tactical side. But then I went from being a winger to playing right back as well. So turning myself into someone who had a defensive mindset versus an attacker mindset. So that was a challenge as well. So yeah, there was definitely challenges along the way. And in comparison to Ireland, I suppose it's more of a full-time setup as well. So you're walking into that professional environment in soccer, which, yeah, was an incredible experience.
But how much does it, like, I'm a soccer, but I always feel that the tactical side of that is, because it's only 11v11, how much do you think that can improve your game in terms of seeing whether it's little overloads, particularly as you're playing as a fullback, you may be joining in at different stages, overlapping. How much of that will help the next game you go into now?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because the tactical side is obviously huge in soccer, yeah. And you generally like we changed our system nearly every second week, and we were always adapting to what the team were giving us versus what we were going to do. That was just the way our mindset was at Mariners. But with AFL, we work on a game plan for 12 months of the year, and it generally never changes. So it's definitely a shift in mindset. But I think, yeah, in ways how you can create space for yourself in soccer can be applied to AFL. And I do think the way you can evade space is better. And like, I suppose my ability to now stop and go to change direction should be better than it was before. So it'll be interesting to see how I do transition back. But I generally find it a bit easier going from soccer to AFL versus AFL to soccer.
And that bit specifically about becoming a fullback as opposed to a winger, what was the difference that you found on a practical level? I mean, obviously everybody knows you're further back in the pitch, but like from your own perspective in terms of seeing the game and actually changing how you play, what was that like?
Yeah, that would massively challenge me because it's the risk versus reward. You know, it's that opportunity that you take to go forward. And if you get caught on the other side, it really does fall on your shoulders. So you're kind of always hedging your bets and having an attacking mindset. I always wanted to get forward and act like essentially a wing back, but that didn't always support our system. So at the start, I found that a hard adjustment to get my head on. And I also found that, you know, generally as a winger, I'm dictating to my fullback, like, you know, it's everything is my decision and you read off my decisions. Whereas as being a fullback, it was like I'm being dictated to by my winger, and I had to do so much, so it's video analysis prior to games to go, what's my winger's tendencies and how do I stop this player? So yeah, it was a massive transition for me, I felt.
It'd be interesting to see if you have the stats in time, in terms of, you know, your GPS units and the distance covered between the two sports. And like you said, it's a fascinating, and it can bore people sometimes, but the amount of accelerations and decelerations between the two sports, and obviously there's less hits in soccer, but it'd be fascinating to see that statistically and how that plays out for us nerds that have seen that type of stuff and manage people around, say, return to fitness. And a lot of physiotherapists will, because you've obviously improved your strength from the AFL and taken that into soccer, where in women's soccer there is some concerns around the strength and conditioning, and they pick up a lot of injuries in women's football in particular. But you're interested to see, you know, the correlation between them numbers.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I was really lucky to have our strength and conditioning coach, Matthew Pelly at Collingwood, who's worked with soccer for the last 4 or 5 years, and prior to that worked in the AFL. So he had a proper understanding of what I was going into and could compare. And that's what he said to me as soon as I was making the change over. He's like, your acceleration, deceleration load is going to go through the roof in comparison to what we do in AFL. So he's like, that was what we needed to prepare myself for before I was going in. So yeah, there is, like, I sent my GPS to him every week for the last 6 months to see like my total distance covered and all that. So it is interesting to look at, but it is very different. Even though you just think it's a field sport, same, same, but different, it's really not.
So is that, sorry for my ignorance here, is that sore on the knees? Is that like twisting and turning? How do you prepare for that?
Kind of like, it's generally more your groins and glutes, obviously, as well, because you're opening up your foot to kick with your instep, whereas obviously in AFL it's more quad hamstring dominant because you're kicking with the front part of your foot. So that's where you kind of feel the difference.
And you prepare for that by doing like some specific warm-ups and warm-downs?
Yeah, and it sounds stupid in ways, but yeah, just the way you, like, are doing an awful lot more change of direction stuff, whereas in AFL it's more curved running.
Will you be a better Aussie rules player this time than you were with, now that you had this experience, do you think?
The last time I came back from soccer, I definitely think I came back a better AFLW player. But I don't know, was that because I suppose went and did something that I felt like I was passionate about, and I do love AFLW, but probably not the same way that I love Gaelic football or soccer. So I don't know if that was a mental shift in me or was it a physical shift, but I definitely felt I came back better last time.
And
but yeah,
go on, sorry.
No, sorry. It's just, it's a very different environment as well. The soccer environment versus the AFLW environment culturally, to just the way, like, the girls' aspirations in soccer, you know, are to either play for the next club somewhere else around the world or to play for their national team. Whereas in AFLW, you know, there's different motives for why people play. And generally it's probably to win a premiership, but it seems like, I feel like in soccer, it's like people are kind of really striving to reach their, like, the highest of heights.
But do you see, you think of this country in terms of the Gaelic and soccer, there's very much, it's similar discussion around them things and the importance of particularly young girls playing both sports because of what you learn between both of them in terms of a strength and conditioning and your improvement of understanding of the game.
Yeah, there's definitely... Gaelic football is probably one that really does complement soccer as well. And I think the attributes are pretty similar. But because I haven't played Gaelic football in a while, I probably don't have the full understanding of, yeah, how much of the difference there is there, but just from memory.
Yeah, when you come back and see the new rules.
Yeah.
Can you just go back to that bit about the difference in culture? Like, when maybe I'm wrong about this, but Central Coast Mariners certainly seemed like an outsider story, an underdog story. They kind of went out of existence for about 15 years, came back in around 2023. So was there not the expectation with that group early in the season that you could actually go on and win the competition?
Yeah, there was absolutely no hope in everyone's eyes that we could go on and win it. He said that to people at the start of the year, they'd say, no chance. Last year was their first year in the competition in 15 years and they got to the semi-finals. But obviously everyone kind of thought, oh, first year, a bit of a fluke. Second year, it was like, oh, do they have the players? And then we had a part of the season where we struggled through the middle of the season and... then we kind of hit our stride again coming into finals, but we just about made finals in the end. We came fifth in finals. And then we just from there on in, we just started winning. But we understood very early as a group that we were really hard to beat and that we were really annoying to play against. And teams would make that comment, we don't like playing the Mariners. And we kind of knew that about ourselves. So we always felt like we were tactically and technically really well set up and that... you know, on any given day, we can beat any team. And even coming up against Melbourne City, who didn't lose a game all season, you know, it was like we really felt that we were the team that were going to beat them. And obviously we ended up beating them in the semi-final. So we just went on the quest of a wave, but there was real belief within our group. But yeah, the outside noise was like absolutely no chance for the Mariners. But I would say as well, Emily Husband, our coach, is one of the best operators I've ever worked under. And I think that she has a massive part to play in how organised and adaptable and flexible our group are.
And how does that manifest itself? Why do you say that?
Because she has this amazing ability to say the right thing at the right time. She tactically sets us up so well. She prepares us. Athletes generally don't like change. We like to keep things the same. We like our routine to be the same and prepare to fail, fail to prepare. But she was always one that was like, it's never going to be perfect and I need you to be able to adapt to whatever the game gives us. So set us up in so many situations that we might change our system three times within a game, which I haven't worked under a coach who was that flexible themselves before. Normally coaches I've worked under have been pretty like, you know, narrow-minded isn't the word, just for lack of a better word, but it's like it has to be this way, this is the only way I see it, where she saw it multiple different ways and she made us believe that that's the way it can be and we can be really flexible. So no matter what teams threw at us, even when we went down by a goal, two goals, we never really thought we were going to lose. So that was amazing that she could instill that in us, I think. So yeah, really amazing operator.
Now that you've played this season in soccer, has that reignited your growth for doing that again, or is that the itch scratched?
No, it never feels like that with soccer. It never feels like the itch is scratched. It always feels like it is a real passion of mine and it's something that I miss. And every time I go back to it, I never regret it. And I kind of always want more is what I would say.
So many Irish girls or people go to Australia. So you think of young footballers now and probably listening to you. Like, is it something you'd recommend from, like, go and experience if you can? It's obviously a very high level, but... Has it been such a good experience? Like, you've obviously played League of Ireland for Balls, so you know what it's like here. What's the main differences like?
Well, we train at 7 a.m. in the morning and we're done by 12. But we literally get in, have half an hour meeting, are on track, on the pitch for 2 hours, and then in the gym for an hour, and then that's the day done. So it's a lot when we're in there, but then it's done by 12, 1 o'clock. But in terms of the A-League, the standard is extremely high. There's a lot of the Matildas girls are playing in the league, up-and-coming Matildas, and a lot of people are playing for their national teams. There's, you know, the girl on our team who played for Arsenal for 12 years. So there's lots of talent in the league. But it's a case of the resources need to improve a lot in the league. And also the money needs to improve in the league as well. But for the standard of what the girls are at, I think it's an incredible standard. So I would say it's really appealing. Can you make a life out of it? The answer is no. People have to work on the side with it. But the standard is very high.
And the standard in terms of facilities and the background?
Facilities are nothing in comparison to AFLW. So that's where it does differ a lot. But the elite mindsets and the resilience of the group and the passion behind it is massive.
And just in terms of going back to AFLW, how many more years do you think you'll play AFLW? What's your plan with that?
Yeah, it's a hard one to know because obviously you do like... Collingwood has been amazing to me and I've been there for 7 years now, and it's hard when you're going between two sports. You're like, you know, you've asked me this before, I'm pretty sure, where you said like, would you just focus on one? So you know, I do have to think about that at some point and realize what is it that I'm really after. I do enjoy the transition because it just challenges me every time, but it depends if I want to continue doing that.
I suppose like at some point you'll stop playing and transition into something else in sport, and having had access to all of the issues in football and all the best side in football, all of the AFLW, all of the Gaelic football and all of the Irish soccer, it's like an incredible tapestry to pull on.
Yeah, definitely. I think my scope around all that will hold me well in the future for sure. Like, as I said to you before, I think the culture in AFLW is very different to what it is in soccer, and then very different again to Gaelic football. There's similarities within them all, but I've taken little bits from them all and then kind of, I suppose, figure out what you feel would be best for an environment to be successful. So yeah, I've learned a lot through going through different sports.
And the Connacht football final is on this Sunday.
Yes.
Will you get a chance to watch?
I would love to be playing in it. But yeah, no, hopefully I will. My dad normally sends through all the reports, so I'm up to date on all things that are happening in Ireland. But yeah, still feel very far away from it all.
So maybe some Mayo GAA in your future still at some point to round things out.
Who knows? I don't think I know myself.
Have I researched this incorrectly? But there is a Mayo medal in your family, isn't there? One of the few?
Yeah. My grandfather won in All Ireland that Mayo won in 1951.
That's special. Not many Mayo people can say that, certainly.
Fewer and fewer, it turns out, these days. Sarah, that was brilliant. Thanks a million for joining us again. Cheers and congratulations.
Thanks a million, guys. Thanks for having me on.